be able to grow, to be able to grow in this church, to be able to grow under pastors who exhibit everything that it is to be pastors. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to cry today. thank you, Jesus. This isn't about me. This is about God. It really is. I'm not going to cry today, but I'll... This is all about God. It really is. I'm going to just let it flow for a minute. Today is a special day. Today is a day that has been ordained. I love how the Spirit is connecting us today. Last couple times, man, I've spoken, the pastor and myself have been on the same page. We've been spirit to spirit. Say like minds, like spirit. Because... This word today that the Lord has given me is the word about answering the call. No matter what your call is, no matter how big, no matter how small, you have to answer your call. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go forth. But hopefully, by the time it's all said and done, you get it. By the time it's all said and done, you'll be willing to answer the call. I love you. Love you, love you, love you, love you. And the word I'm going to speak out of today is out of the book that Ron gave me. All right? I'm not going to cry today. There have been some very, very, very important people in my life to get me where I'm at right now. Although God ordained this, he's ordained every step. He said, the steps of a righteous man is ordered. No matter what you're going through, God has ordered you. In every valley, he has ordered you. On the top of every mountain, he has ordered you. Today is my grandmother's birthday, and I credit my grandmother with giving me my foundation. Pastor threw out a date, and I said, hold on, we're going to do it next month. Let's do it on the 16th. Because I figured that my grandmother is laying up there in heaven right now, chilling, her and Ron, you know. And she is just as happy as can be. She is tickled pink. She said, my baby. You know, I was looking for some pictures the other day because when I was a kid, they used to call me Reverend at church because I used to wear the little suit and I used to have my little black Bible and I had the glasses, you know. And my grandmother used to take pride in the way that that her children always behaved. She took pride in the way that her children always took part in the church. Sometimes we didn't want to. But she made sure that we were there. She made sure that we had that foundation. I say that the greatest inheritance that you can give your children is a foundation in Christ. To where they know, come hell or high water, be it the world's on fire, or be it their foundation is as solid as a rock, that they know that God has them at all times. They know no matter what that they can turn to Jesus. They don't have to have a person there. They don't have to have mama there. They don't have to have daddy there. It's nice to have them there. But they don't have to because they know that they can turn to Jesus because Jesus is the only one that can save your soul. There have been times where I found myself in trouble. Lord knows, the Lord knows. And Jesus was the only one that I could turn to. I have to mention Ron and Pat because I'm going to give just a little history. I was that homeless drunk out here on the streets in Henderson. I was that guy that didn't care about anything. My heart had been broken. My spirit had been broken. Matter of fact, God gave me a revelation later that what I went through was a spiritual death. The Lord had called me at his young age. I love that scripture because that's when I'm starting at. The Lord had called me at a young age and he had let me see a lot of my life. And at the age of 34, I couldn't see anything else. So I figured because I didn't pray, send up my supplications. I didn't ask for that godly wisdom. I just figured upon myself that I would be dead by 34. And life happened. And I went through a spiritual death. And my only care in the world at the time was to get drunk and live. Didn't want to die. Had these two, so I couldn't die. Long story short, I'm at the park where I have my friends. And I'm sitting there, and this little old man comes to me. And I know y'all heard this before, but I got to say it every time. And he sits down and he says, "So, what do you want?" And I'm looking at him like, "Who are you? You know, what do you want? Why are you messing with me?" You know what I'm saying? Ron and Pat are the people that if you need anything at any point in time and you call them, you got it. They don't care if it's in the middle of the night. They don't care if they've been ripping and running all day. Her sweet spirit is going to drive Ron to wherever he needs to go. So when Ron asked me, he said, "What do you want?" I said, "I just want my life back." And I think I shocked him with that one. Because usually they say, "I want some socks or a sleeping bag or a tent." I said, "I want my life back." And he said, "I can't do it, but Jesus can." Ron had gotten sick this past year, and I'm not going to cry today. And he gave me this Bible. And this is what I'm going to read out of today. This is what I'm going to speak out of today. I figure honoring my grandmother with it being on her birthday, honoring Ron with the word coming out of his book. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Am I in the house of the Lord? Let's give God just a little praise. Am I in a house full of people that are saved and sanctified? Well, Pastor House said one time, "I guess I'm in the wrong place." Said the doctor is for the sick. Right? Is everybody walking in what God has ordained you to do? Has everybody said, "I surrender all, Lord God. I surrender my will to your will"? I'm hoping some of y'all haven't, because I'd hate to think that I'm just talking to myself today. I know when I received my call and I started to grow up and smell myself, I can remember verbally saying, yeah, God, I know. But not yet. Yeah, God, I know. But not now. Because, see, I still wanted to drink, and I still wanted to party, and I still wanted to chase the girls, and I still wanted to be the bumbling idiot that I was. Thank God, and that's why I worship the way I do. Thank God he didn't say, "Okay," and just turn and walk away. Say, "God is not a man." Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask all of you to stand while I do the reading of the word. I'm going to read out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me. I always read out a New King James Version. Sorry about that. Then the word of the Lord came to me. saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for you, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am youth, for you shall go to all to whom, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Father God, we have given you your praise. We have worshiped your holy name. Father God, now it is the time for the word, Lord, that you have given me, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that I may decrease while you increase, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you will stir my spirit, Father God, and let your words flow from my mouth. Father God, I pray that everything that I speak is edifying to you, Father God, and that all the glory, Lord, if there's any be gained, goes to you, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is some of the greatest news that you can ever hear. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you. Those aren't just words for Jeremiah. Those aren't just words for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Diana. Those aren't just words for me. Those are words for everybody. God has given each and every last one of us a purpose. Some of us know it. Some of us don't. Doesn't matter what that calling is, be it to be the janitor of the church, be it to be in the missions field, be it to be in helps, be it to be a evangelist, be it to be a pastor. God has given everyone a call and a purpose. And it's up to us. Say yes, Lord. It's up to us to let the Holy Spirit guide us into whichever field it is that God has called us to. But also often, what happens is we do like I did. And it's not so much that we're unwilling. It's that we give the opportunity to the enemy to come into our heads, to speak to us. Now, when I say the enemy, I mean Satan. Now, I don't usually give Satan or the devil credit. I try not to even acknowledge him. So you hear me say the enemy. You hear me say the thief. You hear me say the hater. Okay? What the enemy will do is the enemy will tell you that you're not qualified to do what God's called you to do. You've done too much dirt to do what God has called you to do. The enemy bring up everything that you have done in the past. They say the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance everything that Jesus told you, everything that Jesus taught you. Said he will only repeat what he has heard from God and from Jesus. The enemy, on the other hand, he likes to come in and tell you your dirt. Said the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Comes to steal your joy. Comes to kill your dreams. Comes to destroy you. Amen? The enemy comes to stir up trouble. The haters. And everyone knows what a hater is. A hater is one of those to where every time you tell them what you're planning on doing or every time there's a good thing that happened in your life, the hater wanted to say, that won't work. Nah, that won't work. Oh, you got this and you got this. Pastor Jeff, you got that coffee this morning? Guess what? That was a free coffee anyway. You didn't get no special blessing. The enemy will do anything that he can to discourage you from your faith in God. The enemy will do anything that he possibly can to shift you just a little bit. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. That means he has a path for you. I said earlier, the steps of a righteous man are ordered. God wants you to walk this path, and he wants you to get to your destination. Get to that spot that he has ordained for you. Get you into that position. And the enemy doesn't want you to get there. The enemy doesn't want you to be touching anybody. The enemy don't want you to save nobody. The enemy don't want you to bring nobody off the streets. The enemy don't want you out there feeding the homeless in the park. What are you feeding the homeless in the park for? Ain't you got something better to do on a Friday afternoon? The enemy don't want you preaching the gospel. No. Because the more you reach out and touch people, the more that you get out there and minister to people. And even though you don't think you're a minister, God ordained each and every last one of us to be a minister in one way, shape, form, or another. Even though you're not out there trying to be the pastor, trying to be the preacher, every time you speak into somebody's life, every time you do a good thing, you're ministering to them. Every time you can show them something different than what the world shows them, you're ministering to them. I'm here. What God did, God said, Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to pray that God sends you a comforter, that God sends you an advocate, that God sends you a helper. And he said that because he knows that there's no way that we can walk this path by ourselves without some type of guidance. Jesus had his disciples with him. He was right there with them and guided them to the best of his ability. And even then, with Jesus right there, it was in John, let me find this real quick. St. John, he's got Peter. Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm about to just paraphrase for a minute. He says, who do the people say I am? And they say, well, they say you're Elijah. They say you're Isaiah. Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? Peter said, well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. Well, in just a few verses down, Just a few verses down. Jesus is telling, verse 22. Jesus is telling them about his death, about that he's about to go, and that he's about to be punished, and that then he'll be resurrected. Peter tells him. Peter took him to a side and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen. Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Jesus is walking in the flesh with Peter. In one minute, Peter's proclaiming he's the Christ. And then the next minute, he's trying to rebuke the Father. The enemy is swift enough, slick enough, smooth enough to get into the mind of a man that is there with Christ physically. What will he do to us? We walk by faith, not by sight. Which means we're not physically seeing Jesus. We're going off of our faith. He had to give us a counselor. He had to give us someone that would be with us forever. Now, what that counselor does, what the Holy Spirit does, he will encourage you. He will remind you of who you are and whose you are. He will bring that word back to you. He will let you know that you are a child of the Most High God. He will remind you that God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Miss K. For I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of a good future. Thoughts of hope. God wants you to succeed in everything that he places before you. God wants you to succeed in every plan that he puts in your head. It says, let me find myself, I'm sorry, y'all gotta, bear with me. It says in Corinthians 2:9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God just doesn't want to give you the things that you come up with. He says, I want to do it exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything you could ask or think. He don't want us to be swayed in the wind every time the wind changes. He doesn't want us to lose our footing every time somebody comes up with something else. Every time the enemy says, well, you know, you used to do drugs. You can't be a counselor. You used to be a violent guy out there in the world. How are you going to mentor somebody? You know, you were a whore model. How are you going to be a part of the women's choir? You was a prostitute. How are you going to be in the choir? Sorry, but the word says there's no condemnation to those who love God. No condemnation to those who love God. So the word said to me that anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. All things passed away and everything has become new. God doesn't care about the man you used to be. God doesn't care about the woman you used to be. God doesn't care about the issues you used to have. His son went to the cross. Y'all gonna make me read a little bit. Let me go here. It says, let me help you out. I had this all set up. Y'all gotta forgive me. Woo. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are also should walk in newness of life. What that said was, all that sin that we had went through, all that sin that we have done, it went up on that cross with Jesus. When Jesus went down into hell, he was down there for 3 days. He did us the most wonderful favor he could possibly do. He took that sin and he deposited it there. He left it there. The word says that when he came out, he said, Hades, death, where is your sting? Where it said, God has separated your transgressions, your iniquities, your sin. He has cast it away from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know where that's to me. Now, if God is saying that I'm walking without sin, if God is saying that I'm walking free, if God is saying that I'm walking clear, when the enemy comes to you, when the hater comes to you and starts reminding you of the things that you did, the things that you said, the places you went when you weren't supposed to go, you say, yep, I did it. I did it all. I did each and everything that you said I did. And how do I know I did it? Because I was there. Right? Right? It says, if I'm gonna boast, I'll boast of my weaknesses. That way that the Lord God, the Father of Jesus Christ, know that I'm telling the truth. Right? So if you're telling me I did it and I'm confirming that I did it, guess what? You ain't got no more power on me. Am I right? as soon as I can admit all my faults, as soon as I can admit all my dirt, you have no power. Once you can do that, there is nothing else that he can do to you. There is nothing else that he can say to you. So when he's saying, yeah, you did this and you did, I know I did that. I know. You want me to give you the details of it? Do you? Do you really want the details of it? And you know why I can say I did it and why I'm not ashamed to say I did it? Because God was with me all the way. Amen. God was with me all the way. Psalms 139:7. Let me make sure I got this one right. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? I ascend into heaven, you are there. I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Everywhere that I go, everything that I've done, everything that I've said, God knows. He knows. And guess what he said? There's no condemnation to those who love Christ Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm going to say that one more time. Everything that I've done, I'm thinking, I've done some things. Johnny, Marcus, Tom, DJ. Everything that I've done, everything that I've said, God knows. Everywhere I went, God was with me. Right there with me. And he still said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but that's good news to me. That means when we go back here to Jeremiah and he says, when you were in your mother's womb, before you was in your mother's womb, before you was in your mother's womb, before you were born, I had already sanctified you, ordained you a prophet to the nations. He said, you don't have to be afraid of the haters. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. He said, because I'm with you. That's what he said, right? He said, I'm with you. He says, be sober-minded and vigilant, for the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And that's perfectly fine with me. I say, come on. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, I had just got saved. I like this one. Thank you, Jesus. I just got saved, and I was doing telemarketing. I got in trouble, so I couldn't actually work a regular job. And I called this lady in Alabama. And I say, hi, my name is Del Stamper. And I wish she said, no, your name is Delbert Stamper and you're a devil stamper. Said, you have been running for so long, you have a calling on you, and right now God is accelerating everything in your life. And I stood up in the middle of the office like, Lord, have mercy, who else can hear this? When the Spirit of God is with you, there ain't nothing. There ain't nobody, there ain't a thing above, under, or in the earth that can touch you. As long as you have that covering of God with you, you are perfectly fine to do whatever God has said you're going to do. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Thank you. He said, you are a child of the Most High God. Stop. You are a child of the Most High God. Thank you. Y'all made me nervous for a minute now. Come on. Woo. I'm not trying to keep y'all long. I'm sorry. The point, I'm just trying to get to this point. Y'all got to work with me. Man. I done got sidetracked. I'm sorry. But the Lord is just really just pleading. The Lord is just pleading to each and every one of us to answer the call. To take the necessary steps to get to that point to where you say, you know what, Lord? I surrender all. I surrender my will. I surrender my fear. I surrender my doubt. I surrender my sin. I surrender my addictions. I surrender my sickness. My sickness. He said, by his stripes we are healed. I surrender everything. My depression. my finances, everything I have, I surrender all. My family, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One of the greatest things that my God could do for me, one of the greatest things my God could do for me was restore my relationship with my children. You talk about I don't cry much, but I remember I had to call Pastor one day and I was just hurt and I was crying. I said, well, I done blew it this time. I done truly blew it. And he prayed with me and it gave me an inkling of peace, and I cried later that night. And that gave me an inkling of peace. And I had to stop, because this is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings back to remembrance those things. I remembered when I was drunk. And I'm sitting there. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm broken. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to just call it quits. And the Holy Spirit put upon me, said, you call out to your God right now and you say, Lord, I am yours. So in the midst of the situation I had with my son, in the midst of me having absolutely nothing now, I got a house, I got a job, I got a car, but I'd have nothing now because I don't have my children. Say, Lord, woo! Lord, I give everything to you. My grandmother used to always say, I'm giving you over to God now. I'm putting you in God's hands now. I said, Lord, I'm giving everything I have to you. I need you, Lord God, to take care of my children. I need you, Lord God, to protect my children. I need you, Lord God, to make sure that my children are fine. I need you, Lord God, to repair this situation. Thank you, Jesus. I need you, Lord God, because I can't do it. I done messed up to the point to where I couldn't even go around. Couldn't talk to them. Couldn't see them. Nothing. Woo! But God, there we go. But God, let me tell you something. God told me one day, he said, he said, first and foremost, son, you got to trust everything that your ex say. You got to trust her in the decisions that she make with these kids. And I'm going to tell you, that was a hard thing for me to do because I'm a control freak, or at least I used to be. And the Lord said, that's the only way this going to work, boy. Sit back. I'm a Capricorn. I got to have my hands in everything that's going on. He said, sit back and wait. Woo. If I must boast, I will boast of my weaknesses. Therefore, you know I'm telling the truth. I got family here to know the pain that I was in. There was many conversations I had with my cousin Barbara. And it's like, all I can do is wait. All I can do is wait. Wait and pray. And then the Holy Spirit, one more time, came back in there and said, I got you covered. You do as I lead. I got you covered. You ever been mad at somebody and the Holy Spirit tell you to pray for them? Holy Spirit taught me a brand new way to pray. And it works. And there wasn't no doubt with it. Thank God. And I prayed. Now, it didn't happen instantly like my other miracle. My other miracle was instantly. This one didn't happen instantly. I said, no, son, we're going to test your faith. We're going to see if you know how to stand still and know that I'm God. It took a couple years. But bit by bit, Bit by bit, it was softening. And I'm going to tell you something. And this is something I never shared with anyone. I had told myself, and I had told the Lord, that I cannot step fully into the ministry until my family is reconciled. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. How am I going to come up here and try to preach to somebody? And my house is a mess. Couldn't do it. God knows I was ready to run a long time ago. Be still. Let me fix this. There's a verse when it says in 1 John, it says, and Jesus said to Peter, Simon, said, Peter, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. Tend my sheep. Say, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Said, yes, Lord. Feed my lamb. He said, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Peter, Simon had a nerve to get a little upset. He said, yes, Lord. You know I love you. You know I love you. Why are you asking me three times? Why are you asking me over and over again? You heard me the first time. Jesus said, well, follow me. That's it. You don't get out there and try to do nothing. You don't get out there and try to figure your own way. Just follow me. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. I got this. Just follow me. And when you learn to ignore the enemy, when you learn to ignore his suggestion, Dale, just go bang on the door. Say, I'm coming in. I used to be a locksmith a long time ago. My motto was, if I can't pick it, I'll kick it. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm telling the truth. Say, don't you do that. Don't you do that. Because all that's going to do is make it worse. Follow me. Follow my lead. Just follow my lead. Said, the word shall be a light unto my path. Did I say that right? The word shall be a light unto my path. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word became flesh. Who is he referring to? The word shall be a light unto my path. Therefore, if I go step by step by step as he is directing me, which blind is on. Pastor Jeff pulled his earplugs in earlier. Quit listening to the haters. Quit paying attention to the naysayers, because everybody out there is not your friend. Everybody out there don't want you blessed. Everybody out there got that people got that crab mentality. And what that crab mentality is, as soon as one starts to climb out that bucket, you got three of them pulling him back down up in there. God said, I have not seen, ear not heard, the blessings that I have for you, the plans that I have for you. He said, I want to bless you. I want you to be prosperous. I want everything in your life to be complete and whole. We were talking about that last week, Pastor. Everything is to be complete and whole. There's to be no lack in nothing. At this church here, my pastor talks about a true prosperity. And what that true prosperity is where at any point in time, you can meet the need of another. Now, most people think you're talking about just finances. But true prosperity means emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. And the only way that you can actually help somebody else whenever they need, not just on payday, not just when you got done grocery shopping, not just when you left church, but whenever they need, is if you have an abundance. The only way that you can have an abundance is if you're walking in line with what God said. And sometimes when he tells you to stand still and just wait, you have to stand still and just wait. But you got to make sure that you're listening to the Lord instead of paying attention to the enemy. Don't let the haters get you. Don't let the haters pull you back down. God said, do, you do. God said, jump, you jump. Now, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm about to wrap this up, y'all. This is a day in a long time coming. It really is. And I tell you, like I said, I never told anybody this before. I could never step fully into the ministry until my family was restored. Everything's not perfect because I've yet to meet that perfect man. I've yet to see that perfect life. They say your latter days are so much greater than your former days. Your latter days are so much better than your former days. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the transgressions. Don't worry about the sins. You surrender it to God. You give it over to Him. You let Him have it. You let Him take care of it. You let Him sink it into hell. You let Him cast it in the sea of forgiveness. You let Him separate it. And you walk freely into what He has ordained you to walk into. Let's all bow our heads. Father God, I just say thank you, Lord, for the word. Father God, thank you for using me, Lord God. Lord, I love your presence in my life. I love your spirit in the place today, Father God. Lord, I pray that your spirit would just rain down on every person here. Father God, I pray that the word would sink into the hearts of the listeners, Father God. And I pray that the word will take root in their hearts. Might not be the whole thing. But Lord, I pray that something stays with them. I pray that something will be used. Father God, you said your word never comes back void. It's went out with a purpose. Lord, I know that someone needed to hear it, Father God. And Lord, I pray that they will be received, Lord God. They will keep it. They will remember it in the midst. And they will be able to stop, say thank you, Jesus, give you the glory, and move on. Lord, bless the church. Bless the congregation. Bless our families. Bless our community. Father God, if there is any glory to be gained today, Lord, let it go to you. I love you, Jesus. I love you for the calling. I love you for your presence. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a little bit more praise. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Wow. He is faithful, ain't he? He's so awesome. Well, we have some ice cream cake and some desserts and coffee, and we want to fellowship after we dismiss here and love on Dell today, special day, ordination day, the day that the devil's now shaking and trembling. Oh, he ain't going to like you. You're going to be buying a lot of new shoes because you'll be catching that hell. Be stepping on the devil so much. Praise God. Amen. It's all good that ministers have new shoes. You know that, right? Because we're stepping out in that devil all the time, I'm telling you. But no, I am just, it's just a privilege and honor to ordain you. And I say thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your willingness. And it's so great to watch God take you from down here. You know, I've been there. I know what it is to be down, but then to take you to where you're at today. And that's not even the penthouse yet. You're just on your way up to the penthouse. And I just want to say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you, your family. God restores. God fixes. Yes. God changes. Yes. God molds. It's so awesome to see that. And we prayed that would happen. Yes. Remember how many times? And just to see how God orchestrates it is awesome. So I thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's go eat some cake and have some fellowship. Yes. Amen. You are dismissed. Amen. Amen. Amen.